Our first lesson this morning is from the book of Job. You can find that in the Old Testament, in your pew Bible, page 478, and then over on to 479. I am going to go ahead and read it out of the NIV, and this might seem like it's just kind of coming out of the blue, but we trust that Pastor Carl will connect all of this later. Job 32, 6 through 13. So Elihu, son of Barachel the Buzite, said, I am young in years, and you are old. That is why I was fearful, not daring to tell you what I know. I thought, age should speak, advanced years should teach wisdom. But it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. It is not only the old who are wise, not only the aged who understand what is right. Therefore, I say, listen to me. I too will tell you what I know. I waited while you spoke. I listened to your reasoning. While you were searching for words, I gave you my full attention. But not one of you has proved Job wrong. None of you has answered his arguments. Do not say, we have found wisdom. Let God, not a man, refute him. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
We have, for the last couple of weeks, been doing a series on the militant church, the church militant. We talked a few weeks ago about being the Christian warriors. We talked about the whole armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6. The next week we talked about being prayer warriors, and also in Ephesians chapter 6 about the Apostle Paul told us to pray in three different times. And we have been practicing our praying with the prayer list on the bulletin and here in the sanctuary as people have come in to pray the pews and ask God to fill them with people of varying ages and all sorts of things. Last week we talked about being church warriors, about finding the way that the church would be a time and a place where we would have some real opportunities to worship and cause to go on. This week, our next slide, is about being a growing warrior. Now, when we were little boys, at least when I was a little boy, we used to play army. If we didn't have toy guns and toy helmets, we'd find a stick. Because with a stick, you could pretend it was a sword, or you could pretend it was a rocket launcher, you could pretend it was anything. And we pretended, and it was a great lot of fun. And we'd make all sorts of sounds, and as long as we kept out of the house and didn't annoy Mom, it was fine. And we would run and hide in ditches and roll and play. It was a great time with just growing up and playing army. And then I joined the army, and I got a real helmet. I got real boots. I got a real pistol belt. I got real stuff. And I could play army for real. It was great. But there's a time when we grow as warriors, when little boys play with sticks, and then when people actually put on the full battle rattle. And there's a growing that happens in us spiritually. Now, there has been some confusion among my friends with the Job passage today. Where did he find that thing? It took some help. The guy who was talked about was young. And he didn't want to say anything because all the older men were supposed to be wise. But sometimes spiritual growth doesn't matter about your chronological age. Have you ever had somebody younger than you tell you something that you didn't know about your faith? A Sunday school teacher was preparing her lesson at home, bouncing it off of her children, and said, How many pieces of silver did Judas take for betraying Jesus? And her son said, 30 pieces of silver. And the mother, Sunday school teacher, said, no, it's not right. And the son said, in John chapter 7, verse 35, it says, sometimes young people will know things spiritually that we don't. So that's why we're talking about Job a little bit. So we're growing at different rates. But sometimes when we grow, there are things that may surprise us. For example, when we're little, there's this time when we want to go, me do. And I'm going to feed myself, and I'm not a baby anymore. I'm a big boy. I'm a big girl. I can do this all by myself. And for those of you who have nieces and nephews and children and grandchildren, you have seen this. And they have to have their opportunity to learn how to do that. And yeah, the spaghetti may be on top of their head, but they've got to try. And they've got to learn. They're going to grow. But then on the other side is an example of fine dining. And no one's spilling anything. And if they do, they have their napkin placed properly so that if it doesn't stain on their clothes. The reason I'm wearing a bow tie is so it doesn't spill on my tie. It's high enough you don't have to spill on it. But there are times where we grow in our physical abilities, like eating food. Okay, give me another one. Oh, and then there's times we learn things in school. And it was easy. 2 plus 2, 2 times 2. Either way, it's 4. Let's keep it easy. And then there's those times when people want to stop using numbers and start using letters. You can see up there that Einstein's equation is there, E equals MC squared. And there's all these little things on the board that somebody would have to explain to a first grader. What's that? That's a cosine. Oh, really? But you don't ask a first grader to do that kind of math. There's a progression. There's a learning. And every year, going to grade school, it bugged me. Because every year we covered the same stuff. Over and over and over again. Maybe a little bit harder. But it started like, okay, remember what we did last year? We did this, and now we're going to add this. It's like, oh, we're going to do English again. We're going to do math again. We got to do this other thing again. But it was what I didn't realize is that it was just challenging me a little bit more every year. And I was learning. I may have been kicking my feet some of the time, but I was learning. Sometimes, spiritually, we need to grow up. Let me actually talk about this in Hebrews. Let's take about this just a second. It's from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 6, 3. This is from the New Revised Standard. This is in your pew Bible. The writer to the Hebrews is writing to the Hebrews about Jesus being a high priest. Now, Hebrews should understand about high priests, but they're not getting it. It's like, whoosh. So, he records these words. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again about the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us go on toward perfection, leaving behind the basic teachings about Christ and not laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works and faith toward God, instruction about baptisms and laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead and eternal punishment. We will do this if God permits. Now, that's the Revised Standard Version, translated carefully and precisely from the Greek and the Hebrew. This passage, same passage, written as a paraphrase. You tell me which one is more clear to you. I have a lot more to say about this, but it's hard to get it across since you've picked up the bad habit of not listening. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourself, yet here I find you need someone to sit down with you to go over the basics on God again, starting from square one, baby's milk, when you should be on solid food long ago. Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's way. Solid food is for the mature, who have some practice in telling right from wrong. So come on. Let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place, turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning in trust toward God, baptismal instruction, laying on hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, God helping us. We'll stay true to all that. But there's so much more. Let's get on with it. A little bit different. Oracles of God is something that some of us would have to look up in the dictionary to figure out what an oracle is. It's not a word we use a lot. But the writer of the Hebrews is saying to the people then and to us today, we need to grow up in our faith. Why? Because the more grown up, the more mature, the more we're going on to perfection, maturity, the more we're going to be able to deal with the hard and difficult times, the horrible, bad, terrible day like Alexander had. We're going to deal with the tough times better because this is part of how life is. They're just days like that. Let's go on. Laying the foundation. This is what we had. We need to turn from things and turn to things. This is foundation block number one, okay? In church, we would call it repentance and faith. We turn from something, the old way, my way of doing things, and turning and going to God's way of doing things, and trusting that God's way is a better way than my own. Okay? Next. Instruction about baptism. In the early church, this is the first generation Christians. Nobody has been raised in a Christian home because they didn't exist. Everybody who heard this message was a Christian for the first generation, and so they had to have some baptismal instruction. These are the basics. These are the foundational things that everyone had to learn about. So they had foundational classes about baptism. Why do we get baptized? Because that's what we do when we have a baby. Why do we get baptized? Because it's an act of obedience to what Jesus has called us to do. Okay? Next. Laying on of hands. Laying on of hands, ancient practice we still do when we confirm young people normally to become members of the church. When we ordain people. This summer, Tabby Nelson will get ordained and the bishop will lay hands on her head. And there were going to be some other ministers of her choosing who will come up and lay hands on her. An ancient practice of empowerment and giving authority to her and to others who will be ordained as well. We do it during confirmation. We do it during ordination. Next. The belief in the resurrection. If we don't have this one down, I'm not sure that we're Christians. This is the thing that is the most unique belief in all of Christianity. Compare it to any other religion in the world, it's the resurrection that makes the difference. Okay? And lastly, ooh, this is a picture you may not like. Very severe, the last judgment. So it keeps us thinking about how we're living our lives. Not for those of us who have accepted Christ, who have repented and believed, am I going to go to heaven or to hell, but what is going to be the evaluation of my life as a Christian? As I have lived my life as a Christian person, how is God going to evaluate that? Okay? All right, well, that's all good. That's the five foundational things that the Hebrew writer talks about. And that's interesting. And I'm asking you to grow up in Christ. Next slide. Yes, but how? How do you do that? Okay, so here's the foundational five for that one. Foundational five of belief. Now, this is how we do this. Ready? Number one, read the book. Reading the Bible is probably one of the best ways to grow in our understanding of what Jesus has taught and said, because it's written there. And if it's Jesus said it, it's normally in red letters. In many Bibles, it's in red letters. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus mean? How do we apply it to our lives? This is one of the ways in which we grow in our faith. And the more we understand about what Jesus has said, the more we'll understand how to reply to times of temptation and times of trouble and times of turmoil in our lives. Next, pray. Talking to God about things. We need your help. I need your forgiveness. This is how we grow. And sometimes praying is not just about saying all the words. Sometimes praying is about closing your mouth and listening. God, speak to me. What is it you want me to do? How do you want me to proceed? Because right now, I don't know. There's a thing called dancing prayer. And it doesn't have anything to do with movement. It has everything to do with when you're praying, who's leading this dance? Is the Lord leading you and saying, okay, let's take a step into confession today. Or let's take a step into praise. Let's take a step into something else. And maybe we let God lead. And God knows where He's going and where He's going to take us as we talk to Him. Next. Fellowship. We do this really well here. We like to fellowship. We like to get together and before the service and after the service, and we like our potlucks and we like our Romeos, and this is great. Because we're not in this Christian thing by ourselves. There's somebody who's been at this longer or is more mature, even if they're younger than we are, who knows more about the faith, and we can come alongside them and say, hey, can I talk to you about something? Because we have Christian friends here who can be a source of help and encouragement to us. Next. One of the things we should be doing is witnessing if we're going to grow in our faith. Now, I don't know that you have to take a holy Bible that size down to the hornet's nest with you. But maybe it's an opportunity to say to somebody about, how is it with your soul? How is it with you? How are you dealing with your life and the challenges and everything? How is God helping you? How was your weekend? It was horrible. I just had to set the time back, and I'm all messed up now. And how was your weekend? I went to church, and we had this great praise music. Can you have an opportunity to talk to somebody about something good and how God is working in your life? Witness with your words and with your actions. Of course, the best way to grow is doing what God wants you to do. And there's always that last block there, isn't there? My way, His way. Now, My Way was a great song by Frank Sinatra. But finding and listening to God's way to do things. God, I want to do things your way in my life as an individual. God, I want to do things your way in my family. God, I want to do things your way in this congregation. It doesn't have to be my way, but it has to be your way. And God, would you please reveal it to me, to us, what it is you want us to do? We're willing to try anything, even if it's weird, even if it's a little scary, even if we've never done it before. If you guide us, we'll follow. We really will. And growing warriors, in theology, this is called the process of sanctification. From the time you accept Christ as your Savior to the time you die, all of us, every single one of us, are learning and growing more. That's the goal. Now, I would like to tell you that from the time I accepted Christ till this very moment, it has been this steady incline, just going perfectly smoothly up. I would like to say that, but it would be a lie. My life has been with Jesus more of a roller coaster. Ups and downs and twirls and hanging on for dear life sometimes. What are we doing, Lord? Hang on, it's going to be fun. Okay. But we're still aiming at going and growing and being more mature. And when all of life happens, as it does, we will continue to be better followers of Jesus this year than we were last year. Better followers of Jesus tomorrow than we are today. We are on a steady progression of growth. We need to grow. We need to study. We need to understand. And it never, ever stops. Sometimes the Bible and faith is like an onion. It's got layers. There are times I will read a passage, and maybe this has happened to you too. You'll read a passage of Scripture, you've read it hundreds of times before in your life. And then all of a sudden, you see something you've never seen before. I didn't know that was in there. I didn't see that before. And God will continue to help you to grow. And it helps when you also open the book, pray the prayers, fellowship, share the faith, and listen to where God wants to lead us. May God guide us all as we grow up in Jesus. Amen.